Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
is one of the villages located at Tumbak Island, Tumbak Village, Posumain Sub-District, Southeast Minahasa, North Sulawesi. Tumbak Island is an uninhabited island. The name of Tumbak is an acronym which means mangrove tree because there are a lot of mangrove trees growing at the village. The trip to the village from Manado City takes around 3 hours. The village has amazing panorama and wonderful attractions. We recommend you to stay at the island for 2 days to truly enjoy the best experiences there. One of the features of Tumbak Island is its white sand. The crystal clear and blue ocean looks incredibly beautiful. The clearness of the water makes the coral reefs under the sea visible from the surface. If you want to explore the underwater beauty of Tumbak, we suggest you to rent a cottage near the mangrove forest. The distance between the village and the cottage, which is located in the middle of the sea, only takes 10 minutes by taking boat. Visitors who come to island will be fascinated by the wonderful scenery. You can also witness the beautiful sunrise and sunset from the cottage. In addition, you can also do snorkeling from the cottage because there are various snorkeling spots near the cottage. There are also many kinds of sea creatures such as fish and starfish. If you are capable enough of doing snorkeling and diving, you can explore a 300-meter forest with a width of 3 to 6. If you still have no experience in snorkeling and diving, you can hire a guide who will help you. You can also try different experiences by snorkeling at night. The beach also offers other activities for tourists, such as fishing, diving, and exploring mangrove forest. In addition, you can also enjoy the tasty baked fish surrounding the beach.
As the holy month of Ramadan approaches, millions around the world prepares for a fasting, reflection, and spiritual growth. But how can we stay healthy and energized while observing this sacred tradition? Let's find out in today's interview. Of course, I'm not alone. Right now, I'm with... Hello?
Hello. I'm with Rizka Amelia from Indonesia, the Vision.
Yes. We have here Wita Rizky Amelia, the Indonesian dietitianist and nutritionist, boy listener. And Wita, without any further ado, I want to ask you about the fasting in general. Because in fasting, people usually don't eat from around 5 a.m. in the morning until the Maghrib time. Usually in Jakarta, it is at 5:58 p.m. And how can I stay healthy during that time?
Okay. First of all, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, in the name of Allah. As long as we have this beginning of the day, you pronounce that you do everything in the name of Allah. So you can do it even though you didn't eat for a day. Yeah, because it's a part of our religious practice where you practice your spirituality and you have consciousness in your prayer. This is most likely to be a prayer for Muslim people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And usually there is a specific time for Muslims to eat during the Ramadan month, that is on Suhoor and Iftar, or the breaking fast. And what food usually consumed during the Suhoor to gather lots of energy throughout the day?
Okay. As we can see that each country has different tradition to eat Suhoor. Before dawn, every people try to eat mostly were carbohydrates, right? Mm-hmm. But actually, what we need is not just carbohydrates. We need to have an endurance during the day. So we need mostly were proteins. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you eat a lot of carbohydrates in Suhoor, you cannot have the endurance during the day. Like you might feel a little bit satiety in the morning. You feel fullness, but you may have difficulty during like at 10 o'clock. You were almost drowned. Because you already felt like before you feel full in your stomach, but at around 3 or 4 hours after that, you may feel emptiness. So that's why when you eat at Suhoor, I recommend as a dietitian that you eat a plenty of protein. Yeah, and you could also you can feel fullness while you eat a lot of vegetables also, because you may in science, in health science actually, we have known that if you eat a lot of carbohydrates, you may you feel your glucose like it's a peak or it's getting high. But in some way, in like for at least in the day, during the day, you may feel you are starvation. So in our health recommendation, you need more proteins because if you also eat more proteins, you may not feel that starved. And you can also feel more more healthy. You could do your fast until until sunset. Yeah, and if you also have a good hydration, you don't feel dehydrated at the afternoon. So you can feel more energetic also. Whilst during Suhoor, you also may need, as I had mentioned, that we need vegetables. Because if you eat a lot of vegetables, you may feel more satiety during the day. It's not only about to fulfill your stomach, but you need to fulfill your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have this enteric issue somehow during our fasting in Ramadan, actually. So we need more vegetables to have a better endurance during the day. And as I have mentioned, that you don't really need much carbohydrates, but you need at least one-fourth of your plate, yeah, we call it piringku in Indonesia. You can use it as a recommendation during your sahur. Like you should eat half of your plate with vegetables, yeah, vegetables and some fruits. Like maybe only one apple during sahur, but somehow some people may feel fullness at during sahur. So you can still eat a moderate amount of vegetables or fruits in the morning.
Okay. Any specific foods that we need to avoid during the sahur, especially in breaking the fast? Because usually people get revenge in breaking fast while after a long day of not eating, they usually eat lots of thing. And is it good for the health of the people that do that?
Okay. During, excuse me?
Yeah. Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry, I couldn't get what you mean. Could you
Repeat the question?
Yeah,
okay.
Repeat, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is there any specific foods that we need to avoid while doing the fasting? Because especially in suhoor and breaking the fast, because when usually people do revenge eating after a long day of fasting,
sorry.
And
okay.
Is it good for the health?
Yeah. Actually, there's not there's no specific food that you should eat because as long as it's halal and we call it sayid is a good amount of foods, yeah, including a balanced food. So there's no need to feel like it's not good to eat this at the morning. But if you, as I mentioned before, that you shouldn't eat a lot in the morning, but you should contain your gut, yeah? You should contain your gut and with more vegetables, more veggies, yeah, such as that. So if you want to minimize your carbohydrates is a good thing. But of course, we shouldn't eat non-halal foods, of course, during the fasting itself. Yeah. And I don't know, in some cases, some people might have difficulties during the day because they might feel maybe dehydrated. So please don't eat a lot of sugar in sahur because you may get more dehydrated during the day. As you know that, we all know that sugar is not good for our well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So please maintain a balanced diet since sahur.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not just diet, exercising is also important for the health of diet and nutrition for our body also, because after eating, we need to do some activities to let it out of our body to get the energy from inside the food. Is it okay to exercise during the fasting month, or is there a specific reason for some people that shouldn't exercise in fasting?
Not just when you're fasting, but during your daily life, you can feel when you exercise, you may feel dehydrated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in order to prevent dehydration during your, we need a lot of time to know whether we can endure it or not. Yeah.
Okay.
For some athletes, they can endure the dehydration. Somehow they could manage their hydration.
Mm-hmm.
Like since your sahur, Actually, Sahur itself, it's sunnah. You do it during the dawn, during the subuh prayer or the morning prayer, like about 13 minutes during the subuh prayer, you should stop, right? Mm-hmm. But in some people, they might manage how to have like how much amount of water you could drink during Sahur. Like for some people, they could eat since 3 o'clock or maybe 2 hours before Sahur ends, like before the dip down. So there's nothing to be worried about if you still had a good hydration. But for some people, even they already drink enough water, like about 3 or 4 glasses at before dawn, not every people could manage the exercise. They still feel dehydrated, right? So in my case, in some cases for people who cannot manage that, you can have your exercise during almost like 30 minutes before sunset. So when you had finished your exercise, you could break your fast. That's my answer. Thank you.
Okay. So some specific types of people have specific type of body mentality. And how about people that have like historic diseases, just like heart disease or maybe diabetes? Is it okay for them to do fasting activities as well?
First of all, about fasting for medical issues such as diabetes, cardiovascular disease,
mm-hmm.
We may need the medical doctor's opinion about it. So you should have the checkup first before during the fasting of Ramadan. But if you have tried like for 1 or 2 days in the beginning of Ramadan, it's okay for you,
mm-hmm.
and you could maybe you could consult also to your medical doctor whether you could also follow the rest of the month in Ramadan with fasting.
Okay, so we should consult to doctors if we have diseases. But as a nutritionist, is it possible that even though people have diseases, they still can do the fasting from this side of nutrition?
From my point of view and experience from my practice, my daily activities, maybe people with chronic disease could also fast. It depends on their capability to have a fast during the day.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on each person. Like for some people who couldn't have they tend to have hyperglycemia during the day, so it may need medical doctor's opinion, so you should check that first.
Okay. And
if you have problems, to go to the doctors. So at least you consult, like now in Indonesia, we had a conference with your doctors, so or telemedicine, we call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can consult it, at least online consultation.
Okay.
But if you could have a more medical checkup, like maybe a lab or something, including a physical examination, that's worth it.
Okay. Okay, Wita, for the final question, I would like to ask, for all the people in Indonesia and maybe for all the people in the world that are going to enter the holy month of Ramadan, are there any boost of motivation and enthusiasm that we can do to do the fast without breaking it midways, and maybe and so that we can manage stress and fatigue while fasting during Ramadan?
Okay. It's all about niyyah in Indonesia. Niyyah is how good your intention since the beginning of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. Since the beginning and before Ramadan, many people had already practiced fasting, like during Monday and Thursday. Yeah, many Indonesian people do that. But for some people, they also try to practice like maybe even 10 days during Ramadan. They try to practice, including some people may have also issues with their, maybe they don't have enough time to fast before, and then when you, close to Ramadan, they could fast. Yeah, because it's like, you felt the obligation actually, but in some ways, you may felt like, oh, I need to practice it before 30 days. Okay. Yeah, the best motivation is not only niyyah, your good intention. All you want in your life as a Muslim is that you felt blessings from Allah, including free from hell. Yeah, so if you want to reach that goal, you have to finish, you have to fulfill the 30 days of Ramadan fasting.
Of course, the motivation to get us free and enter heaven is one of the reasons to motivate ourselves. So stress level is also important during Ramadan, isn't it right, Wita?
Stress level, I don't see, it's not a common problem actually in among Muslims, because when you have fasting, actually, there's a lot of, it has to touch your desires somehow.
Okay.
Like, you tend to have more prayers, you read Quran during the day and during the night. Like, it's like the time for us during Ramadan, it's like practice our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you compete to yourself how you could manage to pray as far as you can, because you want to reach these goals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to go to Jannah. you want to get the like the blessings, the certificate from Allah that, oh, you could fulfill your 30 days during Ramadan, so I will give you bless like that. So among Muslims, which has a lot of productivity in their daily lives, there's not much more of concerning around mental issues actually. So you may not feel like, oh, I'm so miserable during this day or something, because every time, every breath you take, Allah has told us, I will bless you more and more, multiple times.
Okay.
So more than 1,000 times. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Wita Rizka Amelia, the Indonesian dietitianist and nutritionist, for the information about the upcoming preparation for the Ramadan, on what you should eat and what you should do during the Ramadan. Because as we embrace the spirit of Ramadan, we can make this fasting month a truly fulfilling experience. wishing, of course, everyone's a blessed and healthy Ramadan for next month, usually in like 3 days, that is the upcoming month. And always stay tuned with us, my listener, for more information and also some preparation during the holy month of Ramadan, only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Is an interesting tourism attraction. It has not only a lot of cultural and artistic heritage, but also has many beautiful and natural tourism objects that can spoil visitors' eyes. One of them is a multi-level waterfall called Grojogan Watu Purbo. Grojogan Watu Purbo, located in Duku Bangunrejo, Merdeko Rejo Village, Temple District, Slamet Rejansi, Yogyakarta. Is also known as Grojogan Watu Purbo Bangunrejo because it is located in Duku Bangunrejo. Grojogan Watu Purbo has an unusual grojogan or waterfall, such as a six-level terracing and flowed by a series of small waterfalls. The water flows from the Krasak River. Grojogan Watu Purbo has actually been existing since 1975.
Initially, this place was built because of the Merapi project, which built a dam to hold back lava flow when an eruption occurred. In this area, there is actually a grojogan or a waterfall on the left and right and large old stones. It is not known for sure the age of the stones. That's why it's called Grojogan Watuburu, which means ancient rock waterfall. Grojogan Watuburu is famous for its very beautiful scenery with 6 levels of towering waterfalls. The best view is seen in the morning when the sun rises, coupled with the chirping of birds greeting visitors. The rocks that decorate the river are so exotic, it's ideal to be a stepping place when playing water. This place is appropriate for all ages. Visitors can explore every corner of Grojogan Watuburu and every level, and also sit on a large rock while looking at the beauty of Grojogan. You can also swim here and of course don't miss taking selfies. The best time to visit Grojogan Watuburu is the rainy season, but you should avoid it when the rainfall is too heavy.
Oh, once you step foot on the enchanting island of Bali. You're welcomed by breathtaking landscapes, vibrant culture, and warm hospitality. Embrace the local culture, meet the Balinese people with a warm smile, and respect their customs and traditions. Use your best attire, and if you're a woman with a period day, don't go to a temple or other sacred places. Explore the natural beauty. Bali is home to stunning landscapes. Do explore lush rice terraces, pristine beaches, and lush forests. Hike up to Mount Baitar. Prioritize your safety. Don't climb the sacred trees and get the sunrise you'll never forget. Practice responsible tourism. Support eco-friendly and sustainable practices. Choose accommodations that prioritize environmental conservation and respect local communities. Bali's natural beauty is a treasure. Don't litter on beaches, in forests, or the ocean. Consider participating in beach cleanup efforts. As you embark on your Bali adventure, remember that responsible tourism ensures that this island paradise remains enchanting for generations to come. Bali welcomes you with open arms. It's up to you to protect its beauty and culture. Bali awaits, ready to weave its magic into your travel story. Safe travels, and may your journey be filled with wonder and discovery.
Thank you. thing that crosses Indonesian people's mind when they hear the word North Sumatra, Toba Lake. The beauty of this freshwater lake that is notable as the deepest lake in the world is really fascinating. The friendliness of its people becomes one of the aspects that makes tourists stay in a bit longer. However, one thing that is always lingered in the ears is the beat of Batakese music, which pumps people's spirit to explore this land. Kasapi is one of the traditional musical instruments of Batak people. This is the evidence that Batak community possesses a high rate of musicality. Tribute songs of Kasapi musical melody, which is played by Martogi Sitohang. Batak community has recognized music arts for the long time before they knew modern musical instruments like today. One of the popular instruments is Kasapi. Kasapi is played by strumming because it has two strings in general. It is categorized as kodaton. In principle, Kasapi is quite similar to small guitar, but it has two strings only. Kasapi is easily found in Parapat and Samosir Island. This is usually sold to the tourists who visit Toba Lake. Some local merchandise shops sell this musical instrument. Kasapi crafters are a little hard to be found because they are usually also the ones who are skillful in playing the musical instrument. The crafters are ordinarily elder people, and the skills of making Kasapi is passed down to their offspring. Kasapi musical instrument is divided into two kinds: Kasapi Ende and Kasapi Doa. Kasapi Ende is the melody carrier instrument, and it is considered as the predominant instrument in Gondang Kasapi Ensemble. Meanwhile, Hasapi Doal has the same principle with Hasapi Ende. However, in the playing, Hasapi Doal acts as the carrier of constant rhythm. The size of Hasapi Doal is a little bit bigger than Hasapi Ende. It wants the harahap as Hasapi musicians feels, and Hasapi has its own technique to be played.
Hasapi itu mempunyai teknik tersendiri untuk memainkannya, jadi biasanya...
Hasapi has its own technique to be played. Usually, based on tradition, there is the resonator hole in the back of the instrument. The function is to manipulate sound, and it is placed on the stomach. Traditionally, Hasapi has two strings. Actually, there are the variation of two harmony systems which are used in Hasapi. Traditionally, it is played intervally, approximately tres major.
First, the headlines. The National Zakat Agency is conducting a training program for 35 Dakwa partners in Jakarta to support the Pesantren Marginal Program, aimed at creating social equality and justice. The program, running from March 5th till 27th, 2025, includes religious education, training and empowerment for marginalized groups, such as street children, the homeless, and people with disabilities. Basnas hopes to reduce stigma and provide education and entrepreneurial skills to help these communities become more integrated into society. The next news. The Deputy Minister of Manpower, Emmanuel Ebenezer Gerunga, emphasized that the Ministry of Manpower will fight for the rights of Streetex workers facing potential termination following the company's bankruptcy declaration. Despite the efforts of both Kemnaker and the company to avoid layoffs, the court-appointed curator chose to proceed with termination. Kemnaker assures that the workers will receive severance pay and unemployment benefits as part of the government's commitment of defending their rights. And that was the news.